Amen indeed. Thank you, Steve, for leading us in those very powerful messages, songs that we have lifted up in praise to our God. Thank you, Bubba, for that excellent prayer that you led on our behalf, reminding us that we are here for God. Thank you to Jace, who came and read to us. Thank you to Dale, who directed our minds, the Lord's Supper. Thank you, church, for who you are. We're trying to move forward in life. We're trying to move forward in our spiritual lives. That is the theme as we get ready to close out a year now. Isn't that hard to believe? It seems like we just started it. Now we're in the next to last month of the year, and we're coming to an end. And so it's always good to reflect. And I know that a lot of times we spend the month of November thanking God and thanking those around us for what they've done and what He's done. And we will have a message that will direct our minds in Thanksgiving coming up. But today I wanted to talk about a tool that God has given us to help us move forward. Now, you might think anchors help you stand still. And I get it. They do. They hold the spot, right? That is the goal, for that anchor, to that boat not to drift, so that the storms or the waves or the wind or what have you doesn't drift it off the spot that it's trying to be held to. But, folks, I'm here to tell you that I believe anchors not only help us hold firm, but because we can hold firm, we can move forward. Today, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27. One of my favorite stories of storms, there are a lot of storms in the Bible that we hear about and we go through, but one of my favorite is found in Acts 27. In Acts chapter 27, Paul's in a ship and he gets in what we know of as a monstrous storm, almost like a hurricane, really, if you will. And in that story, he's already warned the captain that if they continue in this journey, that it's going to end very badly. But guess what? The captain and others, they weren't ready to listen. And isn't that the way it is sometimes in life? Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulations. We could probably use that as a synonym for storms, right? Trials. Hard times we're going to go through. In this world, you will have tribulations. Jesus Christ said that. God in the flesh, it's impossible for Him to lie. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ said, in this life there will be storms. But then He went on to say, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. But He told us ahead of time that we're going to go through trials. Many of us have probably been through trials in this room. Some may be in trials currently right now. Maybe those trials are brought on by some of our decisions. Maybe those trials are brought on by others surrounding us or just the devil stirring it up himself. Whatever it may be, I want you to know that we're on this boat. This boat we call the church. Remember, talking about the church, talking about what can save us. We also know that Peter reminded us that this is an ark, if you will. Being able to be immersed in Christ, being added to the church, we're on this vessel, right? We're sailing this vessel, the church, and sometimes the seas get rough. Why? Because the devil wants to keep it stirred up. He doesn't want you to be happy today. He doesn't want you to move forward today. He wants you to sink and drown in your own suffering, in your own shame, in your own sin, and your own struggle. But God wants you to take hold of the anchor. He wants you to know that He is riding the ship. Let's read now together Acts 27, beginning in verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Ada Remedium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Luke is, of course, writing this, and so that's his first-person view here. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off of Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. I skipped down to verse 7. I didn't tell you that. Sorry. That's verse 7. Now verse 8. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place. I'm trying to pronounce these words, so I got distracted along the way. Verse 8. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Now verse 9. Now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." That's going to get their attention. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Just not yet. Verse 13 now. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out the sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. Verse 15. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called, Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. Now, by the way, this is about 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks worth of being battered by the storm. Sometimes 2 weeks can seem like months, can seem like years, can seem like a lifetime. Sometimes when you're going through storms and these great windstorms of your life have risen up and you feel like there is going to be no way out, it feels like time crawls on. Sometimes I can't move forward because I'm stuck in this struggle. I'm stuck in this whirlwind. When will it end? Look at verse 20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Now think about that. They're in the middle of this basically hurricane force storm. They're on a boat that's wooden, that it doesn't feel like is going to make it through this storm. They are taking on, I'm sure, water. I'm sure they are a lot of different things going on. It's in the darkness of night. You know how miserable that is? And they get to the point that all hope is gone. You know, when you're going through a storm, when you're going through struggles, when you're going through hurt, sometimes it feels like there's no light. It feels like there's no tomorrow. Sometimes it even feels like all hope is gone. So what do? They throw all their things overboard, all their belongings, the ship's tackle. And now with everything gone, they're in this despair. It's so dark, it's so stormy, they can't even see the stars at night or the sun in the day. Again, we know, many of us, what it's like to be in the middle of those storms. We know what it's like to try to stay strong for weeks, for months, for days. But sometimes you get to where they are, you just can't carry on. Now verse 27. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. The sailors hear the sound, don't they? Again, they can't see. They just hear the sound probably. They use their other senses. Maybe water breaking on the shore. And so what do? They begin to drop ropes with weights on them to measure the depth of the sand below them so they could feel that they were coming close to shore and the disaster that was awaiting them. You know, it was the midnight hour. How many of us today are in that midnight hour? If you've never been in a dark storm, if you've never had people hurt you, if you've never had life circumstances get in your way, if you've never had the devil persecute you, I don't really know how to address that. Because it seems like the more we do good, the more he wants to stir up garbage, doesn't he? The more he wants to cause pain. The more he wants to cause agony. And sometimes it feels like it's that midnight hour. We've dropped the ropes. We think we're coming up. We think there's a glimmer of hope. But again, it's dark. It's midnight. We can't see the moon. We can't see the sun. We can't see the stars. We might lie awake on our beds. We can't sleep because of the frightened nature that we have because of the situation we're in. These sailors knew they were getting closer and closer to the shore. So instead of being dashed upon the rocks, listen to what they do, verse 29. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, and they prayed for day to come. You know, I've read this story I don't know how many times. And I've preached on it before, and I've taught on it and when I've taught classes on the book of Acts. But along the way, it never dawned on me that there were four anchors. I mean, I've read it, but it's never hit me till recently. They dropped four anchors. They dropped those four anchors because it's a big ship. And they needed it to stop so they wouldn't crash on these rocks on the shore. They needed to hold the ship steady. There was nothing else they could do but cast out four anchors. You know, along the way, I've had storms come up, lived through them, right? We've lived through some of them, and then some of them we felt like we're drowning through, but we lived through them. And along the way, you know, I thought, hey, I'm going to drop an anchor in this. But the more I think about it, maybe we need to drop multiple anchors. Maybe we need to drop 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 anchors. I don't know. But they dropped four. You see, when it comes to being able to stop from moving into disaster, sometimes along the way, we've got to take action. Sometimes we've got to go back to our roots. Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves that we are people of faith. So today, what I'd like for us to think about, what four anchors should we drop? The first anchor I want us to think about today, if you're going through a storm and you're trying to move forward in life and the devil's got it stirred up, how about we drop that anchor of prayer? Look at verse 29. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Think about that. You know, doesn't it make a person who is not a godly person more godly? It certainly seems to be that way. When we're going through, if we don't turn on God, we should turn closer to God. That's what either happens in a storm. Sometimes we lose our faith or sometimes it gets stronger. The more anchors we drop, the more we can stand firm so that we can move forward. But one thing that we should all be doing through these storms is praying. You see, Paul taught us a very powerful lesson in a very short verse when he said simply, pray without ceasing. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? You see, there may be a child here, like when I was a child, hearing that verse being said. I'm like, how do you just always pray? I don't believe it's just one constant prayer that you're living out, that you're praying every day. I think you're just in a constant state of prayer. For instance, if I'm a faithful person and something's struggling, I stop right then and I pray about it. I stop right then and I, with confidence, go before the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Sometimes people will tell you, well, I wish there was more to do than pray for you. Folks, that's the greatest thing we can do. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I need all the righteous people praying for me. The more we pray, the stronger we get. The more we pray, the more we hold the spot. How many of us can get through this life without praying? None of us can. None of us can pray and get through life successfully as Christians and do it. Even the sailors were praying. Think about that. We know the saying, they have a mouth like a sailor. Well, that's not a complimentary compliment to sailors, is it? So, I have no idea how these sailors were. I have no idea if they were foul people. But if the stereotype is there, then chances are some of them were. But when the trouble got there and they threw out that first anchor, they started praying. God, get us to daylight. God, let these anchors hold. You know, a lot of times when we're going through storms, we try to fix it ourselves. Sometimes we can talk and we can visit and we can do all these other things that we're trying to do to make this situation right, but then sometimes we just can't do it because it depends on God. We need God to get us through it. You remember all the prayers in the Bible? You remember the prayers of Hezekiah? What a great man who, when Sennacherib and the Assyrian army came upon him, they were going to invade him. They had annihilated everybody. He received that scroll, and what did he do? He went and he spread it out before the Lord. By the way, you know that story is told about 3 times in the Bible. You think that's an important story for us to hear? Hezekiah, king now, of all these people, Sennacherib, bad guy, going to bring a storm, going to bring an army, going to invade, going to kill, going to annihilate. Your God can't save you. He take those very words of threat, he spread them out, and he said, God, go to work. By the way, one angel, the angel of the Lord, came and killed nearly 200,000 of the Assyrian army. And Sennacherib's own children turned on him and killed him. God took that threat and he took it out of there. You see, sometimes we forget to spread it out before God. There's an anchor that we need to do. And it needs to be the anchor of prayer. Elijah, James 5:17, was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. What does it mean to pray earnestly? I certainly believe that it means to pray with every ounce of our heart. To pray with everything we have. You know, you think about a child that wants something, that desires something. They go to their parents and they ask for it very consistently. They ask for it with great just persistence in their hearts. They want to persuade, they want to tell you all the reasons they have to have it and everything else. And by the way, if we feel like it's a conclusive matter, then we'll get it for them. Well, the Father wants the same from us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear the reasons. He wants to know the heart. We need to be more like Elijah. We need to be more like Hezekiah. We need to spread it out. We need to pray earnestly. Today, maybe you don't know how to pray. You know, the disciples, they didn't ask Jesus to teach us how to walk on water, teach us how to raise people from the dead. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Imagine that. Maybe you don't know how to pray. Find some of us. We'll help you with that. We'll help you understand how to communicate with our Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. But you know, some of us, maybe we're living in sin and our prayers have grown cold. Well, then we need to start with repentance. We need to go before the Father and we need to ask for forgiveness for our sins. That's going to give us a clean conscience, a clean slate, like Bubba prayed earlier. Thank you, God, for reminding us that when we ask for forgiveness, you remember our sins no more. You see, God wants to hear from you. I can't help sometimes life's circumstances. Wouldn't it be great if we got baptized and we never had another problem? We could probably baptize the entire world if that were the case, but Satan is the prince of this world. And the more we do for God, the more he wants to stir it up. By the way, good and perfect comes from God, so then bad and imperfect must come from Satan. So if it's not good and it's not perfect, it did not come from God. If it is bad and imperfect, it had to come from Satan. So when your life is messed up and things are flipped upside down, I believe Satan's trying to stir it up. So we need to counter it with prayer. The second anchor. We need to drop down in this storm that we're all going through, this vessel that we're all on, is the Word of God. The only thing we can be sure of in this world is that God's Word is a rock on which we can stand and an anchor that will never break. When the storms of life smash your life, smash my life, and all things seem to be uncertain, when we are in a very scary place, we need to cast out the anchor of faith in God's Word. I have told you once, I'll tell you till my dying breath, if I do nothing else at this congregation, I want you to develop a love for the Word of God. Once we stand on the Word is unchanging. Pilate wanted to know, what is truth? Truth was standing right in front of him. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father save through Him. And because He is the Word, and the Word became flesh, we know that we can stand on the Word. It's truth. It's unchanging. Jace read to us from a very powerful psalm, Psalm 91. Let's go back to 14 and 15. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. When we know the Word of God, He will take care of us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who's on this ship that they're dropping these four anchors, was able to take heart because he had a Word from God. Acts 27:22. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. He said, listen, I got to go to Rome. And God's going to protect not only me, but y'all. Just listen to the Word. Drop the anchor of God's Word. Because God's Word is absolute. God's Word is certain. In the storms that we may be going through, we need to get hold of our Bible, and we, in the middle of the madness, we need to read the Word of God. Till that faith is stirred up in our hearts. We need to read the Bible. We need to find the promises from God that can help us in our situation. Most of our Bibles, now they're devices, I get it, but still go along with me here. Most of our Bibles need to be tear-stained and well-worn. When you find a promise from God, do this. Maybe this month, maybe this week. Go through there, find some promises from God. Write it on a sticky note. Put it somewhere you can see it. Remind yourself every day, those are anchors. They are anchors that are going to help us get through. And if you're in a storm right now, anchor down. Drop the anchor of prayer. Drop the anchor of God's Word. And let's start holding firm. Thirdly, this morning, We've got to drop another anchor. If we're going to drop four today, we've got to drop a third one. Here it is. It's the anchor of fellowship. What do you mean by that, Terry? Well, when you're in a storm, I can't think of anything else but some more other fellow Christians that can help me get through it. Allow them to pray for you. Allow them to stand on God's Word with you. Humble yourself. Let's go to another believer. This morning in my Bible class, our Bible class, one that I just happened to get to lead, we were talking about the tongue and we're talking about being disciples, but a discussion broke out about parenting. That's okay, isn't it? You know why? Because there's some parents in there that said, hey, we need some help. We need some guidance. And you know what we did? We spent the time talking about the way we talk and the way we teach and the way we help and to help others out. You see, there may be somebody on the other side of the pew from you that's struggling with something that you've already conquered. We have closed down too many conversations in our churches. Yeah, we might share the same pew. Sometimes we might even know that person's name. But do we know their story? Do we know their history? Do we know their struggles? You see, I may have some struggles. Normally, I'm a pretty open book, so I pretty much tell you what I'm going through. But I try to use that to help people. But when I'm going through something, I need to find somebody that's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, and they can help me. If nothing else, they'll pray for me. If nothing else, they'll study with me. If nothing else, they will take my hand, put me on their back, and carry me to safety. James 5:14 reminds us when somebody's sick, you know what they need to do? They need to call on the elders of the church. I don't think there's an issue in that. I think people understand that, and I appreciate the men I get to serve with here. They've made it where everybody feels like they can approach them. But we all need to feel that way, not just with the elders, but with one another. We need to have that circle of fellowship, that circle of influence, that circle of community that's going to help me know that if somebody says they're going to pray for me, they're going to pray for me. If somebody says, hey, I need you, they're going to be there. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. Acts 27:33, and as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. You know what Paul said? He said, hey, you need to eat. It's okay. So he broke bread with them. He asked God to bless it. And he started eating, and it made the rest of them feel like, hey, it's okay to eat. Now, you might think that's silly, but they've been in 14 days without eating anything. They're weak. They're struggling. Part of their struggle was lack of nourishment, lack of nutrition. So Paul takes some bread, and he set the example. He said, look, I'm going to do it. Y'all do it as well, because it's a good thing. We need people like that in our circle of influence, in our circle of fellowship that says, hey, it's okay, I've been there. Let me help you with that. Let me encourage you. You see, they started feeling better because Paul was now part of their fellowship. We are not designed, hear me out on that, we are not designed to be solo people in this life. Christ designed us to be relationship driven. What did he say about Adam? It was not good for man to be alone. Now, not everybody's going to get married, but everybody needs a somebody or some people to be there to encourage them, because we're on this ship together. We need the church. The church is the body of Christ. If the toes hurt, if the fingers hurt, if the pinky hurts, if the ears hurt, we need to hurt together because we are a body. The final anchor. As we drop four anchors today, we've dropped the anchor of prayer, we've dropped the anchor of God's Word, we've dropped the anchor of fellowship. The final prayer I want us to drop is the accepting of God's will. It was God's will that they shipwreck on the island. In the end, that was God's will. Paul had told the captain that the ship would be lost. In fact, verse 22, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Verse 26, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." In the storms that we're in, or the storms that we will go through, if we put God first, sometimes we may see that we're about to lose everything. But even in that, let me encourage you not to panic. Because your life and your future is in the hands of God. Sometimes in a storm we lose our businesses. Sometimes in our storms we lose relationships. Sometimes in our storms we may lose a job. But the worst thing we can do in that moment is panic. We've got to remember that we're not on our own. We're bought with a price. You are owned by God. You are not your own property anymore. God will care for you. You, me, together, we belong to God. We're not alone. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When we go through a terrible storm, we might lose a lot. They lost the ship. Again, we might lose our jobs, our goods, family members, relationships. And we might not at that moment know the future. But we must never forget who does hold the future in His hands. Romans 8:28 is a verse I've been living by a lot, especially lately. "And we know..." Do you hear that? Paul writing again, by the way. Same man on this ship. He didn't say we think, we hope, we believe, maybe. He said, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Now, a lot of people in that verse right there, but that's not the end of that verse. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Today, I don't know why you're going through a storm. I don't know what your storms are. You may not be going through one. It may be the best day of your life. I would say take heed, because the devil's going to stir up the waters. But we need to know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. When the sailors had calmed down, you know what they did? We're about to close now. They put their trust in Paul's words. Remember at the beginning? They didn't even hear him. I told you that. So they're going to listen to Paul, just not right now. He said, hey, everything, you're going to be fine. Just trust me. But we're going to, there's going to be a lot of loss here. But they were not even concerned in that. But when that storm came and that darkness came and those 2 weeks came, and they're like, hey, this, I'm going to listen to him. Now listen to verses 38 through 44. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go of the anchors and left them at the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and to the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. The devil tried to destroy Paul. Even as they got to the island, you remember. But God did not allow it. And they came safely to shore. If we today will put our trust in God and cast out four anchors that we talked about today, if we'll put our faith in God, the good news is, no matter what, we will arrive safely, no matter what we lose along the way. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers roar and the reef is near? While the surges rage and the wild winds blow, shall the angry waves then your bark or flow? Will your anchor hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail, while your anchor holds within the veil. Will your eyes behold through the morning light the city of gold and the harbor bright? Will your anchor stay by the heavenly shore when life's storms are past forevermore? You see, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Today, take hold of the anchor. Submit your life to Christ. Drop more anchors. Hold on. Let's stay in this together. If you have a need right now, won't you come as together we stand and sing.